clips.
Like Peggy 18. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. No, that's
what it is. Oh, I see.
Yeah, it's like the pan-European gaming.
I had no idea. I thought it was a video player this entire time.
Welcome to DL Gaming. I'm Bobby.
I'm hot as fuck, Bobby.
It is hot down here, but not as hot as it has been. This is one of the cool days, believe it or not.
Yeah, but the humidity is higher than I think any day that I remember before.
It is pretty humid, but it's gonna go right back up out here. It's just gonna get hot again.
I was driving out to work this morning at 4:30 in the morning, and I had the AC on. That's how bad the humidity was at 4 a.m. Mm-hmm. It burned off a little bit, but fuck, man.
Yeah.
Oof, it was tough.
It got to the point, not in my new car, but in my older car, I ran the AC all the time, just constantly. It was always on, just because, I don't know.
Yeah, that's how I am in my truck, too. Yeah. It's better than having your windows down.
I try to get by in my new car without doing that, because I'm always trying to squeeze out, like, extra gas mileage. I'm always playing that game, but I usually break down and turn it on just a little.
Bobby, I hope you don't die young, dude. You're going to have this whole huge stockpile of cash and no creature comforts whatsoever.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Well, hopefully I live a long time, man, because I'm saving up for it.
Yeah, I know. I've noticed.
All right, so this week, this episode is going to be a little different. We talked about this last week. We're going to experiment with a bit of a new format on this, a bit of a looser format, more conversational. We're going to expand the topics beyond video games, but it's still going to be a lot of video games, a lot
mostly
of PC gaming.
Video games.
Yeah.
Maybe.
And we're going to see how it goes. And if it doesn't work, we'll change it and try it out. But for the next, this week and the following 2 weeks, we're just going to try it out, make little tweaks here and there, and see what we like and what we don't, and make some decisions after that.
Yeah, for sure. Anything else before we get into this new frontier?
Nope, let's dive right in.
Speaking of new, Bobby, there's a new DLC for Remnant from the Ashes, which I talked about for 6-7 episodes straight. So I think now, what do you think, Bobby? Now that it has a DLC in 2020, can I nominate it for, like, can it be in the running for Game of the Year?
You're going to nominate the DLC?
No, the original game.
I don't know if it works like that.
I don't think so either.
We're pretty lax on the Game of the Year rules anyway. Yeah. I mean, mine so far is Black Mesa, which was technically released in 2015.
Yeah.
So I don't know, man. Maybe.
Yeah, but anyway. Like, I'm asking you, like, we don't make the rules, dude. Hey, have you checked with upstairs if we can...
The boys upstairs aren't having it.
So, Subject 2923 is about, you know, there's a little tiny hint at Fallout here. Because, you know, you're in the last, what do you call them? Fuck. Whatever, Bastion or whatever it's called. District 17 or whatever. Mm-hmm. And you're the last one. But... You beat the boss and things didn't change. So you try to go figure out what the source is and you go to the original whatever neighborhood. Whatever it is. It's basically a bunker. Mm-hmm. And so there you go. And you get there and there's a lot of influences from Stranger Things. I mean there's the whole upside down version of the world and then the regular version. And that was really cool and creepy and definitely some new mechanics at play there. Mm-hmm. And then when we went to another dimension, there's a new world as well, which is like a frosty snow world. And a lot of touches of, like, we kept saying that it looked like Hunt Showdown, which is a good, you know, that's a good thing. If you're as creepy as Hunt Showdown, mm-hmm. and that's just a small part of your larger game, that you're headed in the right direction. So we played three-player co-op. I've probably played about 3 hours of this. I'm not sure how long it is. All new enemies. Creepy as ever. Dude, at some point we ran into this NPC who's like a mama rat. And she's like nursing little baby rats. And she's just so gross and tumorous, dude. I couldn't even look at it, dude. I couldn't even look at it. I was like, you talk to it, I'm going to be over here. Gross. But the creature design, the character design, the world design, all that stuff is still front and center and probably what makes this game. You know, just over and over, you're like, wow, that's cool. That's cool. That's cool. And it just keeps going and going and going. The action is just as good as before. I don't know if John and I are just good at this game by now, but, you know, we're getting through the bosses in like two or three attempts as opposed to earlier when it was 20, 30 attempts. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Plus, we're all geared out. But I can recommend it for sure. Right now, it's like an 8 out of 10 on Steam. So, yeah, they did a really good job. It was a very good compliment to a very good game.
So it's a continuation of the first, or of the original game?
Of the original story, yeah.
So do you have to beat the first game?
No, you can just play it. Game? You could just go and do that part if you want.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I wonder if they're selling this on the Epic Game Store, because I know they just recently gave it away for free, or gave Remnant away for free.
Yeah, I think we'll see a lot of that. I mean, we've seen a lot of that, and I think we'll continue to see a lot of that. So a new DLC comes out, and they just give the base game away for free because,
mm-hmm.
you know, let it stand on its own merit, and then they're going to make all that DLC money.
So yeah, but what I'm saying is, can you get the DLC on?
I would imagine.
Let's see. So yeah, they have a complete edition.
There it is right there.
There it is, add-on. Yep.
Yeah, oh, and it's $10, which I thought was incredibly good price. Those DLCs are $15.
Yeah, both their DLCs are $10.
Yep.
You get the game for free, you spend $10 on the DLC if you like it.
Yep. And all this stuff I've been talking about this game, and I still haven't tried adventure mode, which I've heard is like a dungeon crawler.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I really want to play Remnant this week, but I don't know. I'm not going to lock it in. Before I came over here, I started playing some Kirby's Avalanche on a Super Nintendo emulator, because I really remember enjoying that game when I was young. And I'm kind of starstruck by the retro games right now, because I just watched that documentary on Netflix, the High Score. I talked about it last week. Last Wednesday, I saw it advertised that on Wednesday they were going to be releasing this docu-series. So, 6-part series, High Score. It's about video games, but they didn't really specify like what specifically. Right. And it's kind of like an all-in-one look at video games.
Dude, I made it 15 minutes.
Oh, you started watching it?
And that's all I could do. I wasn't a fan. I mean, there's high
I'll tell high you production this. Value. Yeah, I'll tell you this. The first episode is the worst episode. And I watched it because I've seen so many video game documentaries now that I know all the stories, man.
Yeah,
I know all the stories, and they're all just kind of saying the same thing. And a lot of them, okay, so some video game documentaries do that interesting thing where, you know, it's kind of about the video games, but really it's about this guy's struggle to do this or something, mm-hmm. you know, like that documentary about the developers of Crashlands and how one of the brothers got cancer and like they're trying to develop a game while overcoming cancer, you know, I'm like, okay, that's kind of interesting. And then, you know, they have the one like Man vs. Snake or, you know, and it tells the tale of this guy trying to get the high score in some retro game. And, you know, they're pretty entertaining. But then you have these video game documentaries that are just like, aren't video games great? Remember this one? Remember that one? Remember these ones over here? Those were great.
Yeah.
And those ones are just like, you've seen one of them, you've seen all of them. And I have seen all of them. And the first episode was very much like this. It started with Atari and a lot of the retro games. And throughout the series, and especially in the first episode, they really try to be inclusive and shine a light on some of the not very well-known figures of gaming, and also, you know, people of color, transgender, women, you know, whoever, you know, like people that may have not got the spotlight before when you were hearing all these stories. So I thought that was kind of cool.
And that's all in the first episode.
A lot of it's in the first episode, but they continue that throughout the six-part episodes.
The Space Invader thing, I had never heard that or met that. I've never been introduced to that creator or anything like that. But still, I was like, once they started teasing the E.T. thing, I was like,
You've heard that story.
Yeah.
And they're always like, these types of documentaries always try to throw in those like things that they think are super interesting. Like originally, this character was going to go bleep bloop, but then he walked into the office and he said, what if it goes bloop bleep? and they act like it's just like this amazing thing. And it's like, all right, cool, man. like, whatever. It's like this weird bit of like nerd trivia that you can repeat to your friends to sound smart. But I'll tell you this, dude, maybe even skip the first episode. I really like the third one. God, what was the third one about? They're each named something and they kind of deal with a particular topic, but overall the series goes chronologically. So it starts off with like Atari, then it goes into Nintendo and then Sega competing with Nintendo and then Super Nintendo. Then it has like an episode about violence in video games and like Night Trap and Mortal Kombat kind of bring it about the ESRB, or if you're in the UK, the PEGI, P-E-G-I, the rating system. But, you know, they just showed a lot of the same old footage that we've seen before.
So PEGI isn't a video player?
PEGI? No.
Because at the beginning of a lot of movie or clips.
Like PEGI 18.
No, that's what it is. Oh, I see.
Yeah, it's like the pan-European gaming.
I had no idea. I thought it was a video player this entire time.
No, dude, that's a, Europe's version of ESRB. So, I mean, there were some really cool things, you know, and I'm going to name some of the stupid trivia that nobody cares about. Like, did you know Star Fox? Star Fox.
Are you about to go down a line of something you were just making fun of?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I am. So Star Fox, they couldn't do the 3D technology. So they found this guy in Britain who was like hacking Game Boys, and they're like, how did you do that? And he showed them, and then they're like, oh, well, what if we put it in the cartridge?
Yeah.
You know, brain explosion. So they put the chip, the SFX chip, in the Star Fox video game cartridge, and it could do things that other Super Nintendo games couldn't do. Mm. So, yeah, I don't know, man. It's just like, at first I was like, okay, this is a 6-part series. Each episode's about 30 to 45 minutes. They really have a chance to be very comprehensive here and cover a lot of stuff. But at the same time, it's like, feels a little bit bloated, too. Yeah. So I don't know if I would sit through it again. It's a lot. And there's some good stuff in there. But
what do you mean sit through it again? Like, watch it again?
Well, I don't.
Or finish it?
Knowing what I know now, I don't know if I would watch it.
Right.
Recommending it to people. I don't know if I'd be like, you got to see this.
Yeah.
You certainly don't, especially if you've seen
certainly don't. Bobby's stamp of disapproval. You definitely don't need to see this.
You certainly don't. Yeah. And High Score is kind of a generic name, too. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'll tell you this, though. They had good little animations. So it's done in the style of documentary. There's like a narrator just kind of explaining the story as you go along, and there's a lot of visuals, and then they stop here and there for an interview or two with people. But they use a lot of like pixel art animations.
I mean, the production value was great.
Yeah, the intro is great. The pixel art animations are great. Like that all turned out really well.
That was about it for me.
Yeah, Netflix has a pretty. They do pretty well on these things, like The Toys That Made Us. I don't know if you're familiar with that. Like, that's pretty good. You could skip the ones you're not into, you know. You could skip Barbie, if you're unless you're really into Barbies. But, like, you know, the Ninja Turtle toys, that one was great.
Bobby, did you ever see Slobby's World? I think I talked to you about it.
No.
So there's a guy named
Robbie
Slobby or something like that.
Yeah.
He just he deals in 80s paraphernalia.
Yeah.
And
you showed me his YouTube channel, and I watched some of it.
Oh. I didn't know he had one. Maybe. I don't know.
Oh, I thought he had a YouTube. Okay, maybe. I'm misremembering.
No, it's on Netflix. I don't know if you're deep down into 80s culture, but it's really interesting to see what some things sell for. Dude, jerseys, 80s jerseys, just like old fucked up ones, man, are going for like $300-$400
and shit. I have to dig through my parents' garage.
Yeah.
See what they got down there.
You've been saying that for about a year and a half now.
Well, I'm pretty sure. I know I got all my baseball cards there. I might have my Star Wars CCG cards in there. I don't know. But I'm sure there's some treasures in there. could do like an episode of Hoarders or something.
Oh, dude, that is a good idea. Bobby, we just videotape you go through the treasures, or lack thereof,
of my parents' garage. Yeah. I used to love going in my parents' garage when I was a kid. It was like this mysterious place. It was like my dad's domain, and he didn't want anyone else going in there.
Yeah.
Except for very rarely, if we had to like get something out, you know, get in and be quick. But like that was like his stuff in there. But
yeah,
he had like, you know, all this old stuff from when he was in the military in Vietnam. You know, he had like
actual treasures.
Yeah, yeah, like all this old
Vietnamese gold.
You know, he had like all this stuff just from like, you know, from his parents' house back east in. In
you have war crimes in your fucking garage, dude.
Maybe, yeah. But, you know, it was like the end of Raiders of the Lost Ark in there. So, yeah, I would love to explore in there, but I'm sure he would have it. Yeah,
probably had piles of porn, dude, for sure.
In the garage?
Yeah, well, there was. You can put it on a hard drive back then.
I don't think so. I don't know. You guys don't know my dad. I doubt that. Mm. I highly doubt it.
He did a great job fooling you, I think.
Yeah, maybe. yeah, so I don't know, man. It was kind of, the documentary was kind of cool, but I can't really recommend it. If you want to check it out, if you got Netflix and nothing else to do, check it out. But just be aware that the first episode's it's the worst one out of all of them.
I watched a documentary on Netflix, but it was almost like this thing where it's like preaching to the choir for me. Mm-hmm. That was Stars in the Sky. By a guy who's been on Rogan a lot of times, Steve Ranella. This is about hunting, and it's ends with animal cruelty, and you know it's at ends with animal cruelty, and you know how you compromise those two things, and why it's more if you eat meat and you don't hunt because it's cruel. It's actually more cruel if you're eating, you know, factory farmed meat. And it just kind of goes down through that whole logic. And this guy's so well thought out. He's probably there's probably no better speaker on behalf of hunting out there. He's just a super smart guy, very articulate. He's an author. And, yeah, he's a hunter that uses big words and mm-hmm. knows a hell of a lot more than you do about wildlife. And that's one of his big points. He's like, I love wildlife so much more because I'm out there every day. I know all the trees. I know the names of all the does. I know their migrating patterns. I know, you know, all this stuff. He knows it on a different level. And then mm-hmm. the animals, right, activists know the animals on a superficial level. Like, I know that they're out there, and I want them to be alive. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So anyway.
But the whole point of this documentary is to defend hunting because it's more humane than processing animals for food.
Yeah, yeah.
But what if you don't want to hunt and you just want a chicken sandwich?
That's a good point to put it that way. But
I mean, it's cool what he's doing, but he's obviously very into this. Like, yeah. I've got other stuff going on. And, you know, maybe every now and then I want a burger.
But he's not talking to you. He's talking to animal cruelty people mm-hmm. directly, like PETA and people like that, that aren't vegetarians. But anyway, he's just not like, this is the way it is and this is why. He's definitely presenting both sides of the argument. And he even shows footage of him having a discussion with somebody, mm-hmm. and you can see both sides of the argument. Check it out. If you've ever wondered anything about hunting, this is a documentary for you. Hmm. Yep.
You know, I'm actually taking a documentary class right now. Documentary filmmaking. I have no idea. I only had one class so far, but I'm like, how is this guy going to do that? Because it's remote only. It's only online. And, you know, we have to actually do documentary work. So I'm like, how is this going to be? But the way they've laid it out, I'm like, okay, this will kind of work. I had to watch a documentary for that class. But I talked about in the past, I'm like kind of over documentaries right now just because.
Because you're taking a class on them?
No.
Because they're homework now?
Because, I don't know, man. They always try to like just. I find them very manipulative, you know?
A lot of them are trying to
even the ones that I agree with, I find them, like, you know, very, one-sided, and they always like show the opposition, but they always have, you know, the perfect counter for it, you know.
Yeah,
they're like setting up the what do they call that, like a straw man argument or something. Like they're setting up the opposition just so that they can counter it.
Well, I think with the beginning in my history, I remember when Inconvenient Truth came out, and it got fucking an Oscar, I think, and it also, he got the Nobel Peace Prize off of it.
Yeah,
people were like, "Oh, this is how you get your point across, for sure, because it works." Because there was a massive movement for the environment at that point.
Yeah,
and so I think at that point people were getting a lot more pushy with their documentaries, trying to push.
Well, yeah, I mean, documentaries weren't a big genre for the longest time. I mean, you had some.
Yeah,
you had some.
Michael Moore.
Well, no, even before Michael Moore. Well, I mean, right around like the early 2000s, right around Michael Moore, that's when I think they started to take off. Till now, it's like, you know, and because of that, it was documentaries don't make money, but people love them. People watch them,
yeah.
But nobody's going to go to the movie theater and watch a documentary, right? So they just had to find a different model, which, you know, now that we have Netflix and streaming and all that, like there's a way to make money off of documentaries now. And, you know, and then home video, of course, but
I feel like some of the best, documentaries just show you the shit and then that's it. Like, it doesn't tell you that this is bad or good, or this is what,
yeah. So there's like, not much authorship.
I remember specifically Jesus Camp, documentary about indoctrination of little kids to fight Muslims in the future. They're like Jesus warriors. Anyway, just filmed them, interviewed them. And at the end, you're like, holy shit, these kids are fucked. But that's in your own head. They never said anything. And I remember that always stuck with me.
Yeah. So, I mean, what you're describing is maybe not exactly, but it's usually called cinema verite, where you just are fly on the wall, where you put the camera there and then you just film, and you as a director or as an author try to...
No, that's called candid camera.
Candid camera. I mean, that knockoff of Funniest Home Videos.
Yeah.
But you try to be as out of the way as possible. But the problem is that it's really hard to do that, because even though you go and you film these people and you let them do the talking in the documentary and there's no narration, you're still making the edits.
For sure.
You know, you're choosing what footage to put in, and you're choosing how to edit it and when and where to put it. So in a way, you are creating a narrative.
And not just that, as soon as you start filming or recording or measuring anything, you in fact are changing what you are recording, filming. Like it's going to change because you were there.
Yeah.
Period. So you're never going to get the purest form of whatever it is, unless you are a physical fly on the wall.
That's why that movie that documentary that won the Academy Award last year, the guy who climbed mountains.
Jesus.
Yeah. Drawing a blank here.
The one that makes your palms sweat when you watch it?
Yeah, yeah. The guy who's climbing the mountain. Yeah. I mean, it's a documentary.
Alex Honnold. I know
his
name.
Free Solo.
Yes. Yeah.
Because I was going to say, it's about a guy who is trying to free solo El Cap.
Yeah.
Kurt says freestyle. Not close.
It's fucking incredible.
Yeah, it's a great documentary. But what's really great about that documentary, it's not just about the guy trying to free solo El Cap. There's a point in that documentary where they turn the cameras back on themselves and like, what are we doing? Like,
yeah,
we could be filming a guy that's going to kill himself, and it's kind of our fault because we're the ones holding the camera, cheering him on. You know,
well, he would have done it anyway.
Yeah, I mean, he probably would have, but you know, the point is that they ask themselves as filmmakers, you know, what is our involvement in this?
It was a little powwow. I remember that scene.
Yeah, so I mean, that's why that documentary was so great. Aside from just him climbing that big mountain, but yeah, I don't know. It's going to be an interesting class. Well, maybe it'll be nice because there's a lot of documentaries that I do want to watch, but there's like two types of documentaries. And as my teacher said, he called it the deep end of the pool, because he was going down a list of recommended documentaries. And I was like, okay, seen that one, never heard of all those ones. Mm. And he was describing, like, you know, there's people out there that you know, they aren't going to watch this unless they're really into film or really into documentaries, or like, it's very rare that people are just going to watch these ones because, you know, these are like really specific ones, and some of them are pretty hard to find. Like the first one that we watched was one called Harlan County, USA, and it won the Academy Award like back in the 70s. It's about a coal miner strike, and I'm like, okay, you know,
did you like
I didn't think I would, but yeah, it was fantastic. It was great. But there were a lot on that list that I either had seen or had meant to get around to seeing, but there are a lot that I hadn't. So, you know, those are the ones I think I'd like to check out. But when you see stuff like Tiger King come out, or, you know, technically...
You mean the greatest thing ever?
Technically, that's a documentary. Technically, My 600-Pound Life is documentary. Technically, right. You know, Married at First Sight. That's...
Oh, have you seen My 1,000-Pound Sisters? Have you seen that one?
No, wait, I think I have.
Yeah, the two super fat, like, sisters.
Yeah. God.
I think hey, what if we put bacon in the lasagna? She's like, girl, you fat. Then the other one's like, you ain't lying.
Yeah. Well, the other class I'm taking, I'm doing two classes this semester, man. I'm going to be slammed. But the other one is video editing, and I'm just like, shh, this will be a breeze, right?
Yeah.
I think it will be. It's going to be easy, but it's going to be work, and I just got to do the work. But what's funny about that class is that so many people in that class are like aspiring YouTubers or personalities. Something, you know, and some of them, like, you know, they got a lot of followers or whatever, but during class, you know, we're doing it remotely and I'm sitting there and I'm just kind of like typing in everybody's name into like Google, just, you know, looking them up and watching their YouTube and reading their tweets and stuff.
But you do realize you have a podcast, probably.
Yeah, I know. Maybe someone's looking me up, but
that's the DLG guy right there.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's cool, man. That's what I love about those classes, though, is that you're around people with similar interests and who are like really trying to be into the, you know, really trying to get started. You know, some of them are like real young and they're just like, you know, I really want to do this as a career. And I'm just like, it's a little late in the game for me, man. Like, this is just a hobby, but, you know, it's cool. Yeah, dude. So that's happening. But
I like how we played about one game and it's just been like 40 minutes.
Well, I did play a game this week other than Kirby's Avalanche. I'll talk about that because I've been meaning to play this game for a while. It's called 3 out of 10, and you may have noticed it on the Epic Game Store. It is one of those games they're giving away for free, but it's an episodic game and they're giving the episodes away one at a time.
Okay.
It's really weird. So the game came out on August 6th, and I think every week they've been giving away the next episode. So they just gave away the third episode. I played episodes 1 through 3, and this game, 3 out of 10, odd name for a game, it calls itself a playable sitcom. So I'm like, all right, that sounds interesting. I'll bite. And it's kind of a walking simulator. There's not much of a game. It's walking around, talking to people, and then playing little mini games in between. And these mini games, you know, they change. One's driving around on a road collecting items. One's like playing a Nerf gun game with somebody in the office, or, you know, just these random little mini games. And it's kind of fun. But what really stands out about this game is...
I think the animation's great.
Yeah, the animation is really good. I do enjoy the animation, but it's very humorous in a very specific way. This is a game for game designers, game developers, because it's about a game development studio that's called 3 out of 10, and they're making this game called Surfing with Sharks. And it's just, the whole thing is kind of playfully mocking the game industry and developers. You can see here, I'll rewind a little bit. See, there's the boss right there. Like, there's one episode where they have to go to, they have an intern, and the interns are kept in little pet cages. You can see it coming up here. There it is. Yeah. Oh, yeah. So there's an intern in a pet cage, and it's always a joke. Like, the intern's always kept in pet cages, and they have to return them to, the school that they came from. And they start making, you know, they have all these little inside jokes about like for-profit colleges, and it's like,
is it harassment? Like, of the females or whatever?
No, it's not that. I mean, it's very playful.
Yeah,
it's making fun of it, but very lightheartedly.
Dude, my harassment's very playful, Bobby. I'm pretty sure they like it.
Yeah, maybe you think so.
Do you want a glass of water? Are you?
Oh no, I'm okay.
Okay.
Yeah. But all that stuff is great. The second episode deals primarily with that. They go to the for-profit college, and it's talking about, like, you know, they have little jokes about accreditation. I don't want to spoil the jokes, but if you play it, it's pretty funny. Maybe it is to me, because I went to one of those colleges for a little bit, so I totally get all those jokes. But I don't know. I feel like a lot of this humor would be lost on people who aren't really privy to this kind of inside knowledge about.
Are they retroactively free? Like, can you get one free now?
I'm pretty sure they are. Yeah. Yeah, this is the first episode here, says free. Yeah, I think you can still get them.
Okay.
For free. And each episode's like 30 to 45 minutes long. They are very long, so you can kind of breeze through them pretty quick. So I like that about it too. It's not taking up too much of your time.
So the reason I have so much more entertainment than I do, general entertainment than video games, is because I've been at work with a lot of downtime, at least 10, 12 hours a week. So I'm like on my phone, like today, I was on my phone for 9.5 hours. One thing that really helped me out in this, you know, you're going to exhaust Netflix at some point. So Plex, Bobby's brought it up before. And it's a really good program. So I use it inside of the house so that I can watch, let's say, files that I have bought on my computer. Just say downloaded files that I totally bought on my computer. I can watch them on my TV through the Smart TV Plex app. So then it just basically scans my file, my hard drive for movies, and I could just stream, or pictures. You could do like a slideshow of pictures, kind of like a Apple Play or whatever, if you wanted to. But what I didn't know how to do was, how do I watch my totally purchased files remotely? And so I was thinking, oh man, I'll just have to download them onto my phone and then watch them. But I couldn't find a way to do it easily. So I was like, fuck it. I guess Bobby explained to me that what I did was I bought the app, the mobile app, which is $5. Totally worth it.
Yeah. You can get it for free, but you can only watch like a minute or two worth of footage before it like closes. So it's kind of like a demo almost.
Yeah.
It's not a full version.
And so I got that, and I could start downloads, and it would only go to 50%. And I was like, why is this? And I was really confused. I didn't know what I was doing. So I went to work anyway. It turns out you could just stream it. You could just stream it from your computer over non-Wi-Fi. I was doing it on mobile data, and great picture quality and everything. And I was just streaming it straight from my computer onto my phone out on a construction site. It was fantastic. Yeah.
They don't have Wi-Fi at your work?
No, they don't have electricity, Bob.
Okay.
Really? No, they do now.
Yeah, you were showing me, it looked like they were pretty much done
there. Yeah, we just turned out,
just on an
inspection.
Tomorrow
morning, two of the six buildings we built are now no longer belong to us and now belong to UCSD. So that's your problem now, kind of thing.
Wow.
We put up a fence and we're like, fuck you. So that's there was a lot of work this weekend.
Dang.
Yep. So what I've been watching, that was just watching UFC on that mostly, but what else have I been doing? Oh, I've been watching a lot of YouTube. Today it was basically all YouTube. I'm not a huge YouTube person, but the thing that I've been watching a lot of recently are these the reaction videos. And it's like, as soon as you say that, you're like, oh fuck, reaction videos.
Exactly,
right?
My reaction.
Yeah, exactly, your reaction to the reaction. But if these kids are to be believed, they're two twins, they're 21 years old, and they have never heard basically all the hits of songs ever, because their mom was like a drug addict, but also super religious, so they only grew up with gospel, and now that they're, I think she's in jail or something.
So she's really into drugs and God.
Yeah, and God, yeah.
Okay.
You'll see, there's a lot of crossover there, dude. One makes you see the other, actually, sometimes. and so anyway, they went their whole lives without listening to rock and roll or a lot of rap or any of that. So they watch fucking videos or listen to the music and react to it. And I think the reason that it's resonating and why they're getting 16 million views, 14 million views on some of these is because I think it's true. I think the story's true. And they're reacting. Just imagine like somebody listening to Nirvana for the first time, like Teen Spirit. For the first time, dude, as a 21-year-old, he's like, God damn, I want to go and work out. He's like, fuck, I feel pumped up. He's like, that was amazing. He's like, that's my favorite rock song ever. I've watched at least 15, 20 of these. At the very worst, you get to hear a very good song again. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That's at the very worst. That's the baseline to entry. You're like, okay, I got to. Even if they fuck up their opinion of it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Then you add, it's kind of like when you know something cool is, you know of something cool, and you're like, hey, bro, you got to check this out. And you get a really good reaction of your friend from this thing you're trying to introduce. You kind of get a little bit of that because you know all of these songs. And so you start reading the comments, dude, and the comments are all like 50 and 60 and 70-year-old people. And they're like, oh, these young whippersnappers, they're listening to these things for the first time. Like, it's all positive comments on YouTube, man. And that's hard to come by. Anyway, I found them infectious, dude. I've been watching a lot of them.
Wow. Yeah, I don't do reaction videos. I don't watch them.
Right.
And I really don't do them. I'd be terrible with that. Could you imagine if I did reaction videos? Oh, man.
I think Bobby really liked them. So I don't know.
just me stone-faced in front of the camera.
For like unreactive videos.
Yeah. Oh, man. Coming up next week, we're going to be doing another one of our Movies on the DL. That is our patron-only podcast that we do. And we're going to be doing Quentin Tarantino's Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. So if you're not a patron, be sure to do that. But leading up to this, I decided to go through Tarantino's filmography and just kind of fill in the gaps, because I've seen a lot of his movies. Some of them I vaguely remember. Some of them I've never seen. So I've been going through his filmography and watching all the ones that I haven't seen and refreshing the ones that I don't really remember too well. And man, out of all those movies, you know which ones did not hold up for me at all?
Like,
take a guess.
No.
No?
You have weird opinions, dude. So I'm not even going to try.
Kill Bill, man. Kill Bill 1 and 2. Like, that was the one where I was just like, huh, okay. And I think part of it was because I had never seen Reservoir Dogs. I'd never seen Jackie Brown. And I've seen Pulp Fiction, but I never really sat down and paid attention and watched it start to finish. So I watched those. I'm like, dude, these are incredible. These are actually like really, really good movies. I know everyone says that, but like, you know, aside from the bits where Tarantino's,
you heard it here first, folks. Pulp Fiction's good.
Yeah. But yeah, Kill Bill, man. Like, it's like live action anime. So I could see people, there is an animated part to it. And, you know, a lot of people didn't really like the second one. It was a lot slower. And, you know, Killing Bill takes like 30 minutes or something. Mm-hmm. Like, that part really stretches on at the end there. So I actually liked the second one, the beginning part of the second one. I really enjoyed. But well, overall,
I always considered them one film. I didn't like the first one as much. And then I was like, that was just weird. This whole thing, it was entertaining, but it was weird. And then I felt like the second one just tied it all up and put a bow on it.
Yeah, yeah.
It brought it all together.
And he's released a version in 2011 called The Whole Bloody Affair. And that's both movies put together. A few things are added. You know, it's like very little. It's like another like slice here and blood splatter there. Like, nothing that different. That's the version I watched. So I really saw it like start to finish. And I would recommend, because they actually blend together very well. Like when the first movie ends and the second one begins, if you smash that together, you can't even really tell.
Yeah.
You know, it just seems like, okay, and on to this. So I do think that's a better way to watch it.
Uma Thurman, hot or not?
I don't think so. I never saw it.
I don't want to. No, not she's like ugly. She's in Hollywood and stuff, but yeah, I don't. She's not like a.
Yeah, I don't want to speak ill of anybody, but
yeah, she totally listens.
Oh no, I just don't. You know, it's not a good look to like. I'm going to take down these celebrities. You know, I have not watched Django Unchained yet. That's the last one I got to watch before I rewatch Once Upon a Time.
Might be my favorite.
Really? It's 2 hours and 45 minutes long. So this is another thing I noticed with, you know, watching all Tarantino's films, like in a short period of time, like Reservoir Dogs comes out and it's this big hit, you know, pretty much makes Miramax for the Weinstein brothers. And that movie is an hour and 40 minutes long. And that's a fantastic movie. But after that, you know, Tarantino pretty much gets free reign over his movies. All his movies after that are like 2.5+,
yeah,
like super long. And I do not like long movies, man. It's really hard for me to actually find the time to watch them. I would have watched Django Unchained like a week or two ago if it weren't 2 hours, 45 minutes, man. But, you know, I sit down at night, I'm like, well, I've got an hour and 45 minutes. What can I watch? You know, it kind of comes down to that. But I am excited to watch that one.
So what's left on the list?
That's it. Django Unchained.
Oh, Hateful Eight. And
yeah, I saw Hateful Eight probably about a year and a half ago for the first time. Okay. And yeah, I mean, I thought that one was good.
Inglourious Bastards.
That might be my favorite out of all of his, but yeah. I don't know. I'd really have to take a strong look at it. Critics tend to favor Jackie Brown, even though that was his least successful film. But it is what they say about it is it's the only time he ever made a movie and didn't make an homage to a movie or, you know, like make a movie about
it. It was his own flavor.
Yeah, it was his most original work. And it is a really good movie, and it's very... Robert De Niro's performance in that movie is, like, my favorite thing in the world right there. Like, Robert De Niro and Jackie Brown is so
I completely good. Forgot the entire movie except for one scene where he's like, don't fuck my girlfriend. And then it goes to the next scene, and he's just fucking his girlfriend, isn't he? When he leaves?
That's not what happened.
See? Not even the one scene that I remember.
I mean, he does sleep with her, but then, you know, later he finds out that's why he left him there, so he would have sex with her. Yeah. I mean, I have a bad habit of when I'm going to watch a movie, I skip through it, like skip through the timeline and just kind of, you know, kind of see the movie in flashes, just like, yeah, what's this movie look like? You know, just give me like some
before you watch it.
Yeah, yeah. Or if, you know, that's if I
super
have
a bad habit, man.
Yeah, yeah. It's not a good thing, and it kind of ruins it. And sometimes, like, I'll skip through a movie. I'm like, God, this looks terrible. You know, just from like that, which is a terrible way to judge it. And Jackie Brown is one of those movies where if you did that, it would not look very good because it doesn't really seem like much is happening. But there's a really good story going on. It's kind of mimicking the, you know, the blaxploitation movies of the 70s. Yeah. I mean, it's got Coffey as the main character. What's her name? Pam Grier.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's kind of going that route. But it's its own original story. And, you know, Sam Jackson is great. Robert De Niro has a smaller part, but he's fantastic.
Dude, Sam and I will be watching a documentary, and she'll just go right to Wikipedia and look up the whole fucking thing.
Yeah.
And just get the whole thing. And then start telling me, oh, this is the guy that... And I'm like... Yeah, I could just walk out of this room now. Like, I don't need.
Yeah, it's a terrible habit. But after this, I'm probably going to do the same thing with Christopher Nolan's films. I did watch his first one, Following, which I had never seen. The one he made before Memento, like his indie film, and that was pretty interesting and really short. It's like an hour and 10 minutes. But with Tenet coming out, which I've actually heard the reviews aren't like stellar on it, but still, with Tenet coming out, I think it's time for like a refresh course in Christopher Nolan. Plus, it's been a long time since I've seen the Dark Knight series, the Christopher Nolan Batmans. I haven't seen those in like since they came out.
Yeah.
So, good time to revisit that.
Tenet, it's like a superhero thing, right? Or at least sci-fi.
Yeah, I mean, it's Christopher Nolan, so it's going to have some weird time thing in it, right? And this Tenet is a palindrome, spelled the same way backwards and forwards. So based on the trailer, you can kind of tell, like, they have to do things in reverse, but then it goes forward or something. You know, it's going to be intelligent or intellectual blockbuster. That's kind of what he goes for. So I don't know. I'll be excited to check it out, but I'm still kind of weird about going to theaters right now.
Tomorrow when we play, we play D&D's on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. You play a paladrum, don't you?
A paladin?
Oh, yeah. Never mind. That was a stretch. Let's keep moving. Well, Conius liked it. Thanks, buddy.
Wow. Yikes. Yeah, and those are, that was actually not as bad as the jokes you were trying to crack during D&D. Those ones are just like... Oh, yeah, God.
What are you thinking about D&D lately? Dude, well, first of all, so let me ask you a question and then tell you what I think, Bobby.
Yep.
So I have two games running, and Sam hates this because it's 3 hours a night. Like, it's definitely affecting my game. Like, that's all my gaming time is kind of going into D&D. But I have two different DMs, right? Nick is almost like, he's me, basically. I think I was his role model when he was growing up, and now he acts a lot like me. And then Livingston is like, you know, he's been playing for a year and a half, and he follows probably what he's been seeing, and which is like hardcore D&D, you know. Mm-hmm. Every episode we do a recap, and whoever tells the story of the recap gets an inspiration for that round, and so the story never gets fucked up. We have there's notes anytime you, it's just all there, it's all very organized, and it's all. But then on the other side we have Nick, who's like imagination is through the roof and his confidence is through the roof. He took us to a whole new continent. We're raising armies. We're playing an RTS in D&D, basically, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And he made it all up. He just wrote it all up, and you know, he made the maps and all that stuff. And I'm pretty sure if he's anything like me, he's like, anything I don't know, I'm just going to wing it. And it's working. Mm-hmm. I had a really good time that last session.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's going well. I feel like I'm kind of getting the hang of it a little bit better. It's, you know, this is my first time really playing like this, so it's kind of tough to figure a lot of stuff out for me, and it requires a lot of, I don't know, it's almost like improv, like you gotta like let yourself go and mm-hmm. be loose, and, you know, that's not really my thing, so, you know, it's really about, it's so much about the story and the adventure, and so little about, like, the actual mechanics sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, so like during fights, it's always like, I walk up and attack, you know, and it's like the most boring thing you could do. You know, it's really, you really need to be a little more creative.
Yeah.
I think with that.
When I'm with Livingston, because you could do so much more with a ranger. Like one time I jumped off my wolf's back and I flipped over the ogre and I tried to shoot an arrow at its head. And he's like, well, you get advantage because it's so creative. Like, the color is so good. So he gave me advantage on the attack. And I thought that was super cool. Like, if you're helping him with the storytelling, then he rewards you with points, which is great, you know? Nick just laughs and he's like, okay, that was awesome, you know? So either way, works. But, dude, I tried all night to make you motherfuckers laugh, and it didn't work. And then you stole the show. Bobby's finally starting to role play. Not that we really role play, but, you know, we've been really pushing him. Like, dude, you're a paladin and I'm a necromancer. You should be revolted by everything that I do. So at some point I got the skeletal cat or whatever. And then I went and did a bunch of drugs and got drunk. And then I was passed out, like slobbering, all that stuff. Bobby waited because he doesn't drink. Everybody fell asleep and he assassinated my cat in the middle of the night. Because he thought
unsuccessfully.
It's
already undead, so
it put itself back together. But anyway, he tried. That was hilarious.
So it looks like before October, we've got to. Well, you already have, but I need to make my own Oculus account because apparently they're going to be requiring Facebook accounts to use Oculus Rifts and Quests.
Yeah, in order so. That was prominent when I made my account. It was prominent, dude, like more than prominent. Like, sign in with Facebook. I was like, no, thank you. And so it was like, or do this or whatever. So I did that. But it was super prominent. And we should have known that this was coming because Isn't it a Facebook exec that headed this up for Oculus? Didn't the money come from Facebook? It's that Lackey guy, you remember who I'm talking about?
Yeah, yeah. I can't. His name is something like that. But yeah. I think Facebook invested or bought, or I can't remember.
They probably bought him outright.
Yeah, but yeah, they've always had some stake in it. But now they're just making it so you need a Facebook account in order to use the Oculus Store. That's going to take effect in October, which, God, seems terrible, especially at a time where everybody's really. Well, I don't know. Is everybody not happy with Facebook? Is that still going on?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, I mean. I haven't had a Facebook account in like 12 years. I don't.
This sounds terrible, but at the same time, anybody who's running an Oculus knows how to make a fucking fake account.
Yeah.
With a fake email. And if you don't know how to make a fake email and make a fake account, you're probably on Facebook anyway, and you'll just sign into that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So everybody wins.
It's a reverse catch 22.
Yeah. I don't know if you're really into this, but did you follow any of that DC fandom thing that was going on?
No, I don't know what it is. I saw the trailer for the new movie.
The Snyder Cut?
No.
The new Justice League HBO series?
No. God damn it. What's his name's coming back as Batman? Ben Affleck is playing. Fuck. I don't know what I watched. I watched something. There it is.
He's coming back as Batman in some other...
The Flash or something.
Yeah, I think it is The Flash. Yeah, I mean, I'm not really into this stuff, so I don't know. But they did release the trailer and announce Gotham Knights. So we knew they were coming out with one of those Arkham games. Not specifically an Arkham game, but something like it, and now we know what it is. So Gotham Knights, it looks like it's going to be just like Arkham Asylum or something, that same type of combat and open world where you fly around. But Batman is dead or he's gone, and you play as four different characters, one of four different characters, Red Hood, Robin, Batgirl, or Nightwing. And here's the cool thing about it. It has co-op. Yeah. I don't know how that works exactly, like... Does somebody jump into your game with the character they've already been leveling up? Can you guys only play together? Like, is the save on one person's account? Like, I don't know how that works just yet. But they've got, like, a lot of gameplay of it. They've got a 7-minute or 8-minute gameplay trailer you can watch that really shows you a lot of what you can do in the game. It really just looks like those Arkham games to me. It doesn't look too different than that. But the multiplayer sounds cool. I like that idea.
Yep.
I'm surprised, actually, we've never had that before, because this would be such a fun game to play in multiplayer.
Yeah, for sure. If it is what it says it will be, this will be pretty good. Those games were great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then I know Suicide Squad is coming out as well, that game they announced, but I don't think I saw much about it.
Yeah, Suicide Squad, the League Must Die or something like that. So mm-hmm. I guess they're going to try to assassinate all
of that's kind of cool. You play as the villains in that one.
Did you see the movie? Birds of Prey?
Yeah.
What'd you think?
Thought it was all right.
I haven't seen it.
It's all right.
Okay.
it's better than Suicide Squad, but it's totally like what's her name? Margot Robbie trying to do her own Deadpool thing.
Oh, right.
And I thought some of the choreography in the fight scenes was fantastic, and what's his name? Obi-Wan plays the bad guy.
Yeah. Ethan, no. God damn it.
Yeah, you know who I'm talking about.
That guy.
Yep. Ewan McGregor.
Yeah.
There he is. Yeah, he's the bad guy. I mean, yeah, there's some good parts. There's some funny parts, but it didn't quite land for me.
Sometimes I look at her and I'm just like, oh, she's just a good-looking girl. But then sometimes I see her and I'm like, she's the hottest girl out, just period, I think. I was watching a lot of Street Magic today with David Blaine because he's in the news right now.
Yeah, he's going to do that balloon trick.
Yeah. And he's at her house and just doing magic, and I'm like, this girl is amazing. Mm. Couldn't get my eyes off her. She's so pretty.
Yeah, great actor as well.
What else? What are we doing? We can leave that. Where are we at, time-wise?
We're at about 50 minutes. We're doing good.
Okay.
Well, let's talk about a few things that people have been talking about in the Discord, games and otherwise.
Let's talk about that first as a thing. So we've already been doing this. You make suggestions and we put them in. But now you're going to have its own section. And it doesn't have to be games. You can do movies or TV shows or kind of like what we've been talking about. If you want us to talk about your shit, throw it in there. If we like it, we'll talk about it. No guarantees. We didn't do it this episode, but I'd like to give shout outs going forward from here. Mm-hmm. But yeah. You know who you are, you beautiful bastards.
So, Battletoads, this game's finally coming out, or is it out?
I believe it's out. Mostly positive, yeah. It already has people playing it.
Okay.
Rare, dude. Interesting, right? Or probably because they still own the IP. I bet that's why their name is on there. But yeah, it's doing okay. What is it, 80% right now, Bobby, for 300 people who bought it?
Only 70%. Only 300 people. Yeah. I don't know. This is a tough game to remake because the original Battletoads were very difficult. And I don't know. I didn't like that game when I was young. I didn't think it was a good game. I thought it was like an inferior version of Double Dragon, and it was way too hard. And not hard. And like, I thought it wasn't fair. Like it was unnecessarily difficult. So
for sure. But I played that first two levels before you get to that car level that's impossible to beat. Mm-hmm. I played the shit out of it just because it was quirky, and there wasn't a lot of games back then that were, you know, had the room or the imagination to put like quirky, weird, like gross humor in it, you know.
Yeah.
So, I think that's why it was so popular and why people still know it to this day. And they did kind of something like that again. The art is definitely its own thing here. It looks like, I don't know, Samurai Jack or something.
No, nothing like that.
What?
I don't know. I can't think of a style that it really mimics. It doesn't
it's
have
hard,
like
it's hard. It doesn't fit in its own any boxes, but I think it looks great. But a game like this, it all comes down to the beat 'em up and how fun it is. I was watching the AGC on it, buy, rent, whatever. He basically just said it was fine. And that's what the reviews say. So unless you have a super strong hankering and $20, that's burning a hole in your pocket, I think maybe it might be a pass. But it's worth taking a look at. I think it looks really cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know, man.
Looks-wise.
I feel like... Well, it definitely
didn't like the original, man.
Yeah, I didn't like the original, but it wasn't really... Like, I forgot this game came out. I know it was being talked about for a while, but I feel like it was a bit of a letdown when it came out. Doesn't seem like people are really jumping on it.
No. Only 300 reviews. That's...
Yeah.
Yep.
But it's something that people are jumping on.
Oh, it's on Game Pass. You can play it for free. There you go.
Oh, okay.
Game Pass wins again. Did you know it was $5, Bobby?
I've heard of it, actually. Hear it every week. Spiritfarer, it's a hard one to say. That's a game that I've seen quite a few people playing. This was released recently with overwhelmingly positive reviews on Steam.
Yeah, 95%. Only 1,000 reviews, but that's still super solid numbers. So from what I know, this is kind of like going for the Animal Crossing... what's the other one? Stardew Valley type people. It's super casual game where you can't really lose. It's a
management game and a bit of an adventure game, and you build up your base. And they call it a cozy management game. I like that.
Yeah. The idea, I guess, is you're the
fairy master.
Is that it?
That's what it says right there in the description.
All right.
As fairy master to the deceased, build a boat to explore the world, care for your spirit friends, and guide them across the
world. There's another word. I think farrier. I think that's right. Anyway, yeah, you gave up your job as taking people to the dead place. I don't know. And you started fucking chilling out and taking spirits all over the world. So I think, and the art's great and looks great, but fuck these games. I don't like them at all. But. Bobby?
Yeah, it looks cool. It's $30. That's pretty expensive. Well, I mean, it's not expensive, but I'd want to know, like, what kind of hours am I getting out of this game? Like, but I do like the looks of this. Like, this has got a lot of things that I do enjoy. It's kind of like a nice, peaceful game. It is kind of weird to play a game like this in that 2D view, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
God, it looks great.
Yeah.
That piece of art, man.
Yeah, it's got a pretty good art style. All right, and let's check out this one here. Necromunda Underhive Wars. Didn't we already talk about this one?
Did we?
Yeah, we did.
I wasn't sure what it was then. I know a little tiny bit more about it.
Because we couldn't figure out if it was Warhammer 40K or not, and it apparently was like some sort of spinoff or something.
Yeah, so we still know that. But as far as the gameplay, it is a tactical co-op, or tactical turn-based. But what's interesting about this is the PvP. Did I bring that up last time? Because I've always wondered how tactical turn-based is going to play out in PvP. I find it super interesting.
Well, XCOM had that.
PvP?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they had a versus mode in the first XCOM. I never played it.
I don't remember that. Really? Mm-hmm. Wow. Huh. Anybody ever play it?
Shit, maybe I'm remembering that incorrectly, but I am almost positive that the first XCOM had PvP in it.
Because I was thinking about it, it was like, it depends, I guess, who has a better squad, and then also tactics.
Yeah.
Like positioning and stuff. I think I'd be interested in that.
Mm-hmm. It looks like Spiritfarer is also on Game Pass.
Boom.
Oh, everything on Game Pass.
It's crazy not to get Game Pass right, Bobby, right? Because we're Conius.
Here's the funny thing. If I ever got Game Pass, I wouldn't play it. That's the great irony of all this.
Why not? You want to play Spiritfarer?
Maybe.
Okay.
Maybe I would. Yeah, maybe I would. But I don't know if I would get, even though it's only $5 a month, I don't know how often I would use it. Look, man, I've got a lot of games, man. I'm working on that backlog. I've got a lot of games to get to. I'm not hurting for games here. Let's see. Warconius also says, yeah, I played the XCOM multiplayer. It has a fixed number of points to spend on squad, and it was okay. All right. So it did have it. I was right. Have you heard, you know about the Crysis Remastered thing, right? Like, well, they had a release date that they announced recently, but the last bit of news, I don't know if you remember it or not, but they released a trailer of the gameplay, and everyone's like, that actually doesn't look that much better than just normal Crysis.
It looked fucking fantastic at the time, so I'm sure it holds up.
Yeah, it looked great. And they did say it is going to be an Epic exclusive.
Yeah, at least at the beginning, I think.
Yeah.
But I don't know why people are excited about this. Like, it does nothing for me. I'll just go play the original, which looked fantastic. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Was it higher resolution? What's the remaster?
You can play up to 8K. Mm. Like, anybody can do that. who has an 8K monitor?
So I saw a meme today. It says, yeah, but can it run Crysis, right? Which was the old meme. Mm-hmm. And it was like a little toy train.
Yeah, the meme before memes.
Yeah, and then a giant train comes and smashes that train and says, yeah, but can it run Flight Simulator 2020? Which, hopefully more on that. My brother-in-law is gigantic on, well, he used to be on Flight Sims. So he really wants me to download it. But I'm like, dude, 150 gigs? Like, I barely have like 20 extra. Like, I don't know what I'm going to delete. I'm sure I could really go in there and start deleting a bunch of
120
porn,
gigs? Yeah, I don't know, 150. Man. 150?
Yeah.
Well, maybe look around. What I do is I forget that I've got a game installed on like Origin or Epic Games Launcher.
Yeah, I think I still have Metro Last Light installed, which is probably 50 or 60.
Maybe you got a Call of Duty on your Battle.net launcher installed. Yeah, I don't know.
Fuck right off. I hope not.
All right. Well, thank you to I'm Sync, LM Sync. First month subscribing.
Thanks, man. Awesome. Our new format's bringing them in, Bobby.
Yep.
We got a fish on the hook.
Just reeling them in. Oh, boy. All right. So I guess are we ready for listener questions?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. And we should clarify going forward. So we do want to open up a section. Basically, right now, what we're playing around with is a format where we just have a section where we talk about whatever, games, movies, whatever we've been doing during the week, any funny stories that come up or anything on our mind. And then we have a section for recommendations. So anything that you want to recommend through Discord, whether it be a book, video game, movie, whatever, you can do that. And then we're also going to have the listeners' question section. And we have a brainstorming channel in Discord, right?
Yeah, for ideas, right?
Mm-hmm. For ideas. So if you, that would probably be a good place for feedback regarding this episode. If you're just like, this new format is not working for me.
And also we're stumbling through it too a little bit.
It's our first time doing it. But, you know, it's important to get feedback and, you know, be specific about what you like and didn't like. And because we're doing it all for you guys.
Yep.
All right. We've only got two.
Should we talk about the new... or is that a secret?
Yeah, we probably shouldn't bring that up at this point. We've got...
Go fuck yourselves.
We've got two listener questions, but one of them is very long and a two-parter here. This is from Dr. Anus. Love the name, by the way. Two separate questions for both of you. First off, Bobby, I've got one of those awful middle schoolers you're always talking about, and I know you've talked about how bad the online schooling is, but we are in COVID Central here in Florida and aren't sending our grandson to school. Any advice as far as a good camera speaker, mic setup to give him any advantage or help him with his in-person online schooling? Not something shitty like Emilio's remote cast setup. Any other general advice from a teacher and tech point of view?
Let me cut in here, Bobby. What you need is shackles. Because there's nothing keeping that kid in front of the computer, no matter how good the equipment is. So you're going to have to, or crazy glue his ass to the seat, something. They just get up.
Yeah.
The teacher can't do any. They're not going to stop the class because some kid got up. And next thing you know,
they got to get up and go to the bathroom, you know?
Yeah, but they don't come back, dude. This is what I'm hearing.
Yeah, well, I will say last week I was pretty hard on the whole online schooling thing, probably harder than I should have been. I actually do support the idea. Like, the term that gets thrown around a lot right now, at least at my work, is the health and safety of our students and staff. Health and safety of our students and staff, you know, and that's always number one priority, as it should be. So, like, I am not happy about the situation, but if I would make the same call, too, like, I don't think I'd send teachers or students or staff back to campus just yet. Like, I don't know if it's the right time, especially where you're at. I mean, things have gotten a little bit better here in San Diego. Like they've been improving the last week or two. But yeah, dude, if you're in Florida, I know that's like a real bad spot. So I do not blame, and you know, it's a personal decision for everybody too, like whether, well, you know, what they want to do. But I will say this, like, they've given the teachers the option, where I work, they've given the teachers the option to come in to school and teach from there. No kids. They can teach remotely, but they can do it on site. Out of all the teachers I've talked to, only one of them that I know of is going to come in and do that. All the other ones are just doing it from home. So I think a lot of people are with you and not really comfortable to get back into it. And kids are gross, man. Like, they're like, you don't realize like how unsanitary children are.
No, I know. Yeah. They're the worst.
They're like super on it. Like, they will, sixth grade, they start getting a clue a little bit. They get a little bit better, yeah. But like fifth grade and down, dude, they will cough in your face and just stare at you like a fucking cow, like just like, like a deer in the headlights. Like, what did I do something wrong? Like, they will sneeze in your face and just be like, what?
And like, they shoot their pants up until like accidents. There's accidents still.
Yeah. There's like a lot of bathroom accidents. I've worked with every age group. I've worked with, like K all the way through 12, kindergarten all the way through like high school. And yeah, the young ones, man, there's a lot of bathroom accidents. There's a lot of nose picking in those younger grades, dude. In just out in broad daylight, man, just like not even being shy about it, just digging right in. So yeah, it's just not sanitary. And, you know, while we got a pandemic, even though kids aren't really as affected by it, you know, it's still like, it's one of those things, man. Like, people are like, they try to throw numbers at it, you know, like, well, if, you know, it only affects like a small percentage, and they're like, well, think about it, dude, even like 1% or 2%, it's like 1600 kids at my school, dude. You're talking 2%. It's like, well, hey guys, you know, 20 kids just died. No big deal. It's only 2%. Is 20 2% of 1,600? I don't know. Someone do the math for me. But still, it's just like, no big deal. We only had a handful of kids die. Yeah. I mean, it's just like, you can't play the numbers game, dude. People, not with people. They're not numbers on a spreadsheet.
Because it's going to land on somebody.
Yeah. Yeah. But as far as like tech equipment, you know, there was a mic that I would always recommend. It was the Audio-Technica ATR 2100. The 2020 is what I have. That one's a little expensive. That one's great. But the 2100 was a little bit cheaper. But I think it's still kind of an expensive mic. But what I see a lot of people doing is going with a cheap headset. And, yeah, it's not, like, great. But it's way better than using the microphone on your laptop, which too many people are doing. Like, too many people in the Zoom calls are just, like on a laptop, kids screaming in the background, you know, and just, like, it's really bad.
They don't have the etiquette down.
Yeah, the TV going. It's gotten better. I will say that in my college classes, like, they're on top of it, dude. Everyone's like,
maybe that's why you should start. Maybe you should take 5 minutes at the beginning. It's probably worth it at the beginning of every class and be like, are you teaching classes? Will you be?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, maybe be like, everybody, put your phones on silent. TV's off. Little kids. Lock them up in their rooms or whatever. You know what I mean?
Well, that's
it'll probably pay dividends.
Yeah, yeah, and that's the other part of my answer to the question here. You know, like any other advice from like the other side here, like
remove distractions.
Yeah, set like a space. Set a space. And this is for adults too, dude. Like adults struggle with this as well. Like if you're in an environment where you have distractions or like, you know, if I sit at my computer at home, like I know I'm one click away from a game or, you know, like checking Twitter or doing something unproductive. If I'm at work, it's a completely different environment for me. So like a lot of teachers I know have started creating like these small home offices.
Yeah.
A lot of them are setting up shop in the garage. You know, you just got to like remove yourself from like all those comforts and distractions. And I think that makes a big difference, but that depends on your living situation. Not everyone's got that opportunity.
I went to a buddy's house and they just said, they've had a home office forever. And she does a lot of paperwork for selling houses, which is a lot of paperwork. So she currently has three different screens on like these swivel arms and all this stuff. It looks like crazy. But her husband just bought her the Acer 34 Predator.
The one that you have?
Yeah, the
monitor?
One that I have.
The ultra wide?
Yeah. But okay. She did it for organization and like there's not going to be games being played on it.
Yeah, yeah.
I got it for $600, man.
Well, that's a good deal.
Yeah, that's a really good deal.
I mean, that's a great monitor for productivity.
Yeah.
But my biggest concern is, you know, with my monitor being 1440p, and that one's basically 1440p, but stretched out even further, more pixels on the side. Like, font is super, super small on that.
I told her about that too.
Yeah, like it's tiny.
Yeah.
Like you gotta control mouse scroll wheel up and increase some of that stuff.
Oh, I was gonna give her some like shortcuts like that, and she's like, "Oh, I'm on a Mac," and I'm like, "Fuck, you're on your own, dude. I don't know."
Oh, dude, it's easy, man. You just replace control with the command key. That's
it.
Yeah, pretty much it on Macs. But yeah, dude, good luck with that. We are all in it together, man. We're all like sailing into this unknown territory of like, it's probably like, everyone's asking me like, how long do you think this is actually going to be? And I'm like, well, I'm positive it's going to be at least be a semester, but I'm pretty sure it's going to be the whole year, dude. I think we're going to have a whole year of online teaching, and we're a lot more prepared now than we were like in March when my school closed down, but it's, you know, we're still voyaging into unknown territory. And fortunately, there's been a lot of communication between people trying to figure it out. Okay. The second question is for Emilio, and this one's a lot shorter. Second one for Emilio. All your fond talk of EverQuest, why not EverQuest 2? Did it suck your soul away like mine? I had to step away from my PC in 2008 for almost a year just to get my life back in order. It's still one of my favorite games, but I know I could never go back to it.
EverQuest 2 never stuck with me. I might have put in 50, 100 hours, but it was nothing crazy. I just kept going back to, like, this isn't EverQuest, you know. And I think, if I remember right, after EverQuest, I just had a bad taste in my mouth for MMOs. And I didn't get into World of Warcraft until, like, the fifth time I tried. It was almost like The Witcher in that way. So I was just like, nothing's EverQuest, but EverQuest is so outdated, I couldn't go back, and it's just too punishing. So I was just kind of caught in this middle ground until finally World of Warcraft clicked for me, and I was like, okay, I can see how this could be fun. But what I did say, I was right on the first day that I played it. I was like, dude, there's no penalty for death. He's like, what? It was Chad. He's like, you have to go get your body. I was like, yeah, but they don't take XP from you? He's like, no. And I was like, oh, then you're going to have a bunch of level 50 10-year-olds at one day. They're inevitably going to get there, and it's going to ruin everything at the top. And that's exactly what the problem is with World of Warcraft.
How prescient. yeah. God. Every now and then I get the inkling to, if I ever have too much time on my hands, which is very rare, like I'll get the inkling to check out WoW Classic.
Yeah.
But I'm sure that would be short-lived.
Yeah.
All right, last question from Old Man Dave. Looks like a hypothetical question. So, you are an NPC in a game, not the protagonist. What game and what do you do?
Bobby, I so see you as the item shop owner.
An item shop owner? Yeah, yeah. Maybe that's why I like those item shop games.
Yeah, yeah. That's why I think maybe I said that.
Yeah, maybe. I could see myself doing that, or like probably something boring in the background. What are some good NPCs out there?
Geez, something that sticks out. I would like to imagine that I'd be the comic relief. Just the zany sidekick or whatever, that's constantly falling down and hitting his head and stuff like that.
There was, I don't know if it was in both the Fear games, but the first Fear game, there was an NPC that you come across.
The little girl?
No, I mean, that's like the main bad guy, sort of, depending on how you interpret the story. But no, it was like the computer guy was stuck up in the building. And he was straight up like a Dennis Nedry ripoff. He had a belt buckle that said RTFM. You know, he was like eating Cheetos and stuff. You know, just like this total stereotypical nerd.
Yeah.
And
that's pretty good.
I don't know if that's really like a trope, though. Do you remember that from any other games? I feel like maybe in Doom 3, they kind of had something like that. Maybe not a specific character, but somewhere along the line, you always run into like the nerd on the inside or something.
Like the flat guy from Jurassic Park.
Yeah, yeah. And then he's like, all right, well, you're going to have to get to this point, and I'll hack the mainframe while you do it. And then like halfway when you're doing it, like he's dead or gets his head cut off, and you're like, are you there?
I was almost going to say that same thing. Like the guy that's in Solid Snake's ear, the Ukatu or whatever his name is. Just the guy looking up the schematic. I was almost going to say the exact same thing, but not on the comical side on it, on the actual helpful side of it. You know? Yeah. But
the person in the earpiece.
The guy behind the guy.
Yeah.
Yep. So is that a show?
Yeah, I guess that's a show. What are we playing next week, or what are we doing next week now we're opening this up?
Well, I'd like to say that now that we gave two of the buildings away, we get a week of breathing room, but no. The third building has to be ready in 2 weeks. So it's just starting all over again. So it's just push.
You haven't even started on the next building?
No. Like, it needs to be finished.
Oh, okay.
And could you imagine, dude, what the finishing touches on an entire building are? It never ends. It's like, it's called a punch list. And it's like thousands of items long. Thousands. Mm-hmm. And it all has to be done before we give it to them. And so we have people work all fucking day and all fucking night, and somebody has to be there, and that's usually me, kind of thing.
At least it's good money.
It's very good money, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what my situation is going to be at work yet, because I think what I'm going to do is like just tell everybody I'm going to be on site for a certain amount of hours a day, and then the rest I'm going to work remotely. So I think I'm going to come in every day. Maybe, I don't know, maybe I'll do like a Monday, Wednesday, Friday thing. I don't know. I still kind of have to figure it out, but I'm kind of just feeling what the need is right now. Once I figure that out, then I'll probably set a schedule.
What's going on with the old fogies that can't like even do anything in the first place? Like very basic things. Like, you know, and then now they're going to stream video?
Well, they all had a test run for the last 3 months of the school year last year.
Okay.
So it's, I feel like they got a lot of that out of their system.
I feel like you're going to be going house to house, dude. Like fucking.
Well, I am dealing with a lot of home networking issues and things like that, because a lot of people are working from home. So now it's really difficult from a support standpoint, because it's like, when you're at work, it's like, this is what we support, you know? You know, we have like the exact same printer in every single room. Yeah. We have the exact same phone. We all have the same types of laptops. But now everybody's at home, so it's like, okay, jeez, who's your ISP? What kind of modem or router do you have? Dude, you know, like,
I do not.
Yes.
And you're the guy.
Yeah. Nobody knows what their Wi-Fi password is. You know, it's just like, now I'm back to D-Link tech support, basically.
Yeah.
You know, it's opening up a whole wide array of issues. I do not envy you,
my friend.
So it'll be interesting, but I feel like everybody is, the hard part about my job sometimes is like getting people to accept the fact that they need to use something. And now it's like everybody is crystal clear. Yes. Yeah. We have to use computers. We have to use Zoom. We have to use Google Classroom. That is what we are doing. If you have a problem with that, then, you know, get on board.
Do you have a choice between those two? Or is
what,
it,
what two?
Google Classroom. Is that also a video?
Well, Google Meet is like their version of Zoom. I like Zoom better because they have these things called breakout rooms where you can like hit a button and it just splits up the whole class to like four people in a little mini Zoom. Mm. And then you can bring them back in. So that's really helpful. Mm. But as I was saying, like, everybody knows that they, like, this is something we have to deal with. And if you have a problem with it, then you better learn how to do it. So, you know, I don't have to, like, convince people that something is important or they should learn it.
Right.
Like, the necessity is there.
Another question. So, is the school district going to start paying for their internet? Or how's that work?
That's another iffy thing. Like, I've been fielding some emails. Like, teachers are like, the Wi-Fi is bad at home. Will the school buy me a range extender? I'm like, no.
Yeah.
I'm going to like buy you a home office. You know, like,
it's tricky.
We can't be doing that.
With the money they're saving on gas, they can easily buy all that stuff.
Yeah. And, you know, there's a thing like someone want to take their printers home and dock cams. I'm like, I mean, that's really going to be a problem down the line. I mean, we haven't been officially told, no, you can't do that. But it's kind of like I've been discouraging it. But yeah, there's a lot of weird gray areas going right now.
You should make a recommended list, like very low end or cheap. It'll get the job done type stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of have just from working with some people so far, like and what they've.
No, but send it out to everybody.
Yeah. But I mean, I'm kind of like, you know, some of these people, I'm like, what's up with your home network, dude? Like you can't connect from your bedroom. Like why, it's 2020.
why hasn't this been an issue before this moment? Oh, I'll bring it up next episode. Sam and I bought a knockoff version of the Peloton bike. So I'll talk about it next
week. Yeah, I'm interested to hear about that.
Yeah.
All right. You know, as far as games go next week, I'm not sure what I'm going to be playing. After watching that documentary, like, I want to play Kirby's Avalanche. Dude, even Kirby's Adventure was such a solid Nintendo game. It was, like, late in the Nintendo's life cycle, and I feel like that was one of their best Nintendo games ever. There's so
Super
many.
Super Nintendo?
No, original Nintendo. Kirby's Adventure? Kirby's Dream Land?
It was a weird thing, dude. Before I met Sam, never played a Kirby game. Ever.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, one interesting thing about the documentary is the last one, I swear I'm going to do it. Kirby is named after the lawyer that they had that defended them when they were getting sued by Universal because they said Donkey Kong was infringing on King Kong. Yeah, they got this lawyer named Kirby, and then they named the Kirby character after him. Oh, and then he died in 2019. They had the little, like, in memory of at the end of it.
Oh, so, well, he has quite the legacy now.
Yep, and here's the kind of messed up part. He looks like Kirby, dude. He looks like he's like a heavyset, very pink-skinned guy. it's not very flat.
Man, you won't say Uma Thurman's fucking unattractive, but you'll call this guy.
But I'll go after Kirby, dude.
He's dead anyway.
Dude, if you're dead, I will come after you. all right. What are you playing? Any plans?
I like to play more Remnant. I did start the Mortal Kombat DLC, but I didn't talk about it. Mm-hmm.
Can I jump in on Remnant with other people that have already like played a bit, or is that?
Yeah, it doesn't matter. It'll scale.
Okay. All right, cool.
Like, we're way past Bob. Like, for instance, Fastidious played with us. He was doing more damage than us, and his gear skill score is way below ours.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. This is the picture of Kirby here. I'll put it up. This must have been him back in the day, though, because when they had him, they interviewed him in the show, he did not look like that. John J. Kirby. All right, man. I guess that's an episode.
Yeah, man. All right. Speaking for are we changing this too now? Fuck.
No, I don't think so.
Speaking for Bobby and myself, Kirby tits. Bye. Bye. I want to say Kirby doesn't talk, but he does say bye.
He like squeaks.
He says one thing in like Smash Brothers.
Yeah, he might in Smash Brothers.